Welcome to the podcast. Slightly serious subject today as we delve into the topic of diabetes. We've done this one before, and it's fair to say that there were a number of people that emailed us as a result of our last time we talked about it. And the things that we shared helped change people's lives. It made people wake up and realise how much of a difference losing weight makes, but also for some people that they really needed to go and get checked out because they were showing signs of diabetes. Anna, last time we talked about it, we were very nervous about talking about it, weren't we? But it opened the door for so many people to really take stock and listen to why it's important.
It's such a big and you know, complicated and serious subject matter, isn't it? We wanted to make sure we did it justice, but some of the messages we got after it just made it so worthwhile, didn't it? So yeah, I'm interested and excited to go back and reinvestigate this in a slightly different way today.
Well, we've got the insight of somebody who is member turned consultant who has been in the shoes of having a type 2 diabetes diagnosis. And you'll be very pleased, in the process of losing weight, reversed that diagnosis. Let's find out more about John in a moment. But first of all, we need to delve into our voicemail inbox and find out who is going to kick off the podcast today.
You have one new message.
Hi, I'm Lisa and I live in Trymsaran. I attend Louise's Mynydd y Garreg Slimming World. Cue the ukuleles.
Ah, see, Anna, I knew that you'd love a Welshie.
Oh,
finally,
you know
we've got
you
a Welshie from a place that we can't even write it down or describe it, where you are from, Lisa, but it sounded brilliant.
I love in the notes it just said Lisa from Wales because we couldn't even get into distinguishing the pronunciation.
It looks like it was swear words because I put so many exclamation marks and question marks in our shared little production schedule because I couldn't guess where in Wales you're from, Lisa. But thank you very much for your message, and hello to Louise, your consultant as well. So Anna, diabetes week. That's why we're putting this episode out today, which you may be listening in the future, but if you're not, it is currently June, the 13th to the 19th of June 2022 is Diabetes Week. It raises awareness of people who have diabetes. It raises awareness of the symptoms to look out for, the treatments, just for all kinds of information. And Slimming World has also been obviously, you know, constantly doing research in the background. You know, it's not just a food optimizing plan. Slimming World has a whole research team who have been looking at some of the risk factors of type 2 diabetes, the impact that losing weight has. I mean, and you as a consultant, Anna, it's probably not unusual that you have people who walk through your door saying, I've just found out I've got diabetes, I need help.
I have so many diabetic members or pre-diabetic. I think this thing that I've seen a lot since COVID is the people who have come in and said, look, my doctor said I'm really treading that fine line where if I don't do something, I'm going to end up with full-blown type 2 diabetes. So yeah, I can think of about 24 members I've currently got that fit into kind of both those camps. But the great thing I think about embarking on a weight loss journey is it's something that so quickly and so effectively can help you turn those things around and, you know, reduce your blood sugars, make you have more energy. And so many members we see can reduce their medication, if not stop it. So while it's a very daunting prospect being diagnosed as either pre-diabetic or diabetic, I think it's a really good thing to know that you can, with weight loss and healthy eating and being active, you can really control that and take it into your own hands to kind of be much healthier. So that's a really good thing because I've, as we know, had a really, really sad experience with type 1 diabetes with my dad and everything we experienced with that. So it's kind of good to know that through eating well and being active, you can kind of stop the effects that can be so so horrendous when diabetes really sets in and you don't take care of yourself. So yeah, I see many, many members with it. And I'm seeing a lot more women, actually, which is really quite interesting. Before, it always used to be the men that would walk in the door, but I'm seeing a cross-section kind of the population that are being diagnosed.
Yeah, and actually we had some messages from female listeners. I mean, Michelle here has been back on a journey since November last year. It's lost just under 4 stone, reduced her diabetic meds from 4 to 2. You know, she, as long as she sticks to the plan and continues to lose weight, she's been told by a doctor she can steadily drop the medication. So, you know, we How know important. That's... Yeah, making a difference. But, you know, let's hear it from someone who's been in those shoes, because we can only talk about this from a theoretical kind of point of view, not from ourselves. We're really delighted to welcome John on the podcast. John, you are up in Bonny, Scotland, but an incredible story that came out last year of how you lost 8 stone, you had type 2 diabetes and you turned it around. Wow. I mean, how do you kind of sum up the journey that you've been through over the last few years?
Oh, it definitely has been a journey. I honestly, when I got diagnosed with my diabetes, it was first time from my mind, actually. I didn't think that there was anything wrong. But as you say, it's the symptoms. And I just went for a checkup one day. I was feeling tired and was going to the toilet a lot and didn't think much about it and went to the doctors and then, hey, presto, yeah, you've got type 2 diabetes. And it knocked me for 6, to be quite truthful. I wasn't expecting it. And at that point, decided, no, I've got to do something about it. And that's when I really started my journey to try and get rid of it.
Do you think with hindsight you'd have the things going on for quite a while and maybe not recognise what was going on?
Yeah, probably. I mean, I had been tired for a long, long time before that, and I was just putting down, I mean, I was 25 stone at the time, and I just put it down to maybe just being a bit overweight and I was just tired. But yeah, I probably do think the symptoms were there. I just didn't realise that I had them, to be quite truthful.
I think that's a lot of people too.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
How do you go from getting diagnosed, which must be really quite a jolt to your system? How do you take that kind of digest it and then go and do something about it? How did that happen?
Well, it got to the stage. I mean, that was November 2017 I got diagnosed, and I was coming up to becoming 50, and I thought, nah, I've got to do something now. So I really, really just wanted to do something about it. And to be fair, the nurse, when I went to my checkup and got diagnosed, said, you can do something about it. You just need to try and lose weight, etc. So I did, and I did try myself to lose a bit of weight. And over the next year, I probably did. I lost probably about another 1.5 stone myself before even going to Slimming World. But it was slow and it was hard going. And at that point, I thought, no, I need to do something about it now. So it was a case of into Slimming World, January 2019, managed to walk through the door in my local Slimming World. And what a warm welcome we got. But then that's when my journey really, really started. And to be truthful, 14 months later, I'd lost 8 stone, 4.5 pounds. And believe it or not, on the same week, I had my checkup for my diabetes. And at that point, they had told me I'd reverse my diabetes and to come off my tablets.
How incredible. That is just astounding. Were they as shocked as you were? Were they like, look what you've done?
Oh, totally. I mean, the nurse that gave me the news and that, she was absolutely astounded. I mean, when I walked through the door, obviously, from 25 stone being down to the 15 stone that I was, and walking through the door, she says, right, no, I can see you've made a big, big difference. But she was that astonished and loved it so much. She wished I could actually speak to her other patients and actually share my story with them and just prove it to them that you can do something about it, and you definitely can do something about it.
Wow. I mean, what was your lifestyle like, you know, before you got that diagnosis?
I didn't think it was that bad, to be quite truthful. I honestly didn't. But I had 2 teenage kids in the house, and my eating probably wasn't the best. it was, as probably a lot of people are when you've got two teenage kids, it's grabbing something when you're there. It's the quick goes. It's the pizzas. It's the pies. It's the chips. Something quick. And it is just learning to change that and eat your free foods and change the way you eat, etc. That does benefit and does get you back into getting on the plan.
Because it is kind of, I meet a lot of people who have become diabetic and the weight had almost crept on. They hadn't realised they'd got to that point. It was like a series of just years and years of just not, like you were saying, nothing that was like terrible, but it just accumulated. Is that kind of how yours went?
Not really. I've always probably been on the larger side, to be quite truthful. Even when I was at school, I was probably on the heavier side at school. But I've always kind of been that way. And don't get me wrong, to get to the 25 stone, it was obviously creeping on. But I wasn't aware of that, to be quite truthful. And it wasn't until you do obviously get the usual back to pain, etc. with it. But it wasn't until the real symptoms of the tiredness and needing the toilet a lot and going for the checkup, that's really when it hit home.
And that's the jolt. I mean, fast forward to who you are, you know, in the last couple of years. I mean, you're running a couple of times a week. You've done Edinburgh Marathon. I mean, you went and did the Couch to 5K. That just shows like how mobile you went from being so tired to like that. I mean, like, just that is such a transformation. And also to know that you've done it in 14 months. I mean, that sounds like your journey was incredibly focused, determined. You were like, no, I'm going to do something about this.
Yeah, no, totally. And it was a case of, as I said, turning 50, I am going to do something about it. And it was a case of, it was in group, and it was a case of losing week after week after week because I was so determined to do that. In fact, I honestly think there was a couple of weeks that I didn't lose, and one of them was away on holiday. So it was so focused in getting to that. But yeah, I mean, I didn't even take up the running until I reached my target weight. And that then kicked in after that because I've been working from home, as a lot of people were. And it was a case of, right, what am I going to do? Because mentally, I needed something to do as well. So it was getting out running. And that's where the Couch to 5 came in.
So you must have emerged from lockdown like this new man.
Yeah, I must admit, even going to, because I'm now back at my work, two days a week, but even meeting people that you've not seen for a long time. I mean, I know fine well, I went back to work and one of the boys at work walked past me, and it wasn't until I actually physically spoke to him that he realised it was actually me.
Claire had that when you lost all that weight in work, people just didn't recognise her. So what was, you know, you seem very like level-headed about this, and you wanted it, you made the changes, but what were the kind of biggest swaps? Was it getting in the kitchen? Was it cutting back alcohol? How did you make it happen in 14 months?
I was never a big drinker, so alcohol wasn't an issue, which I know is an issue for a lot of people, but it wasn't for me. I took up cooking, basically, again, and loved the cooking side of it. So it was getting back into the kitchen and was making the meals. I'll make the meals for the family. And as a case of making the meals for myself as well. But I loved getting back in that kitchen and making fresh meals. And that was the big change.
So what's your kind of favourite go-to? What have you swapped your pie and chips to now? What do you love?
Oh, I mean, I love spiked bowl is one of my go-tos. Crustless quiche as well. I love the crustless quiche. It really is that and chips. You can't go wrong with that and chips.
You're clearly much better cook than me. I always tell my members mine ends up like a wet omelette with cottage cheese gone wrong. So you're doing a much better job than me. But do you think getting the family involved helps? Like, because you've got these, you had two teenage sons and you've got a partner, haven't you? Like, did they all buy into it?
Totally bought in there. They were eating the same meals as me. I wasn't going out. I wasn't making anything special. They definitely bought in it. So much so that my wife now helps me when I'm a consultant now. So she actually comes along to my group on a Saturday morning and helps me set up. And she's part of my social team and everything now. So, the family support has been absolutely phenomenal.
It's key, isn't it? It really is. Everyone totally buying into it. I love that. I love that you've now like broadened out and you're helping other people too. Was that kind of thinking, actually, look how much this has changed my life. I want to kind of share that. How did you embark on that?
It was, I mean, when we talked about the nurse and that wanting me and wishing that I could speak to her patients and share my experience, it is a case of trying to help everybody now. I really want to share my experience with everybody. And it is, as you said, Anna, the amount of members I've got in group now that are coming in and saying, I've got diabetes. It is scary, to be quite truthful. And if I can help them, in fact, I've even had one woman in the last 2 weeks, she's joined us about 15 weeks ago. And walking through the door, she first thing she says to me, I can't do this, walking through that door. 15 weeks from when she walked through that door, she's now lost 2.5 stone, and she got a phone call from the doctor last week to say, come off your tablets.
Oh,
fantastic.
So, absolutely brilliant.
Brilliant. That's incredible, isn't it? And such easy things that you can do to make us, you know, make things happen, isn't it? Like, you know, we talk a lot about food optimizing not being anything different than kind of normal food, but, you know, getting lots of rich sources of protein, fruits and vegetables, really making sure you're getting those kind of slow releasing carbohydrates. It's normal food, isn't it? You don't need to do anything crazy to make you know these things happen, do you?
Well, that's it. It can be tailored to anybody's needs. It really can. One thing that I didn't understand when I initially got diagnosed was they sent me on a course for the local health board who tried to talk us through it. And their way of talking about it was taking everything and taking it into a bit of bread and taking everything and relating it to a bit of bread and trying to cut the carbs out, etc. So it was trying to identify that. And then when I went up in the slimming world, it kind of, you think, I'm having rice, I'm having pasta, I'm having all that anyway. But it is a case of talking to your doctor as well and just getting advice for them. And that's the way it can get tailored to suit your individual needs. And it's brilliant that way, it really is.
So a really important point you make, we should say, if anybody is listening who is diabetic and food optimizing, it's really key that you get your diabetes team involved so they know what's going on. Because if you're on any form of medication and you are diabetic, you need to make sure that that is safely looked after by your team. Just don't go out there and start, you know, trying to do things of your own accord, because we want to make sure that you're really, really safe, don't we? But yeah, you can absolutely live quite a normal way of eating, can't you?
Oh, totally. Totally, and I do. loads of it now.
I mean, see, Slimming World have been doing some research about diabetes. Obviously, they have the fact sheet, which they hand out. You know, when people join Slimming World, there's a fact sheet, isn't there? But some of the research, you know, where they've spoken to members who have diabetes. Let me just recap some of the headlines of this. So almost 2/3 of members who have type 1 and type 2 diabetes see an improvement in their blood glucose management as a result of following Slimming World. That rises to 80% once members have lost 10% of their starting weight. Now, if we look at type 2, similarly, you know, to you, John, almost half of members with type 2 diabetes say their diabetes medication had been reduced or stopped as a result of their weight loss with Slimming World. And that rose to almost 2/3 of members who'd lost at least 10% of their starting weight. So, you know, you can see right across the board, we're hearing of you, John, we're hearing, you know, of the lady you mentioned within 15 weeks. She'd obviously, you know, sounds like she's lost 10% of her starting weight, perhaps. And got her club 10. But, you know, this is a pattern here that is kind of empowering people rather than, as you say, people kind of getting that diagnosis and almost living in fear and the whole kind of, I can't, or I can't have that and I can't have this. And you get to the point where I imagine that you're quite afraid of what you can and can't eat.
Yeah, I get that. And it is trying to understand exactly what you can and can't eat. But that's that, and again, that's one of the brilliant things about food optimizing. You can, and you can, there's nothing really that you can't eat.
Yeah, I meet a lot of confused people that come in after diagnosis who are like, should I cut this out? Should I not do this? Or pre-diabetic, just not knowing what to do. And I think the thing to really recognize with food optimizing is we have done all the research. We've got this beautiful diabetes booklet that can help make sure that you do it safely and, more importantly, easily. Because if you're going to lose weight, like we've talked about before, it's got to be something that's sustainable. And if you're going to be trying to lose weight so that you can, you know, reverse or slow down or make better your health, then it's got to be something that you can really stick to. So I think, you know, I know when I had a lady that was newly diagnosed, she was so frightened to eat anything because she didn't know what that meant. So I think it's really knowing that this is something that's just really achievable and simple.
Mm. Can I throw something else in that I wonder whether this is me just kind of like riffing, but from what I understand, type 1 and type 2 diabetes are very different. Type 2 can mostly be around lifestyle, whereas type 1 is a bit more complicated. That's the very basic understanding I have. I do wonder whether some people who come to Slimming World, and now we know, you know, as people who have been bigger, there is already some, I don't know, shame, guilt, anger, sadness, all these emotions that we carry from naturally being a bigger person. But I do wonder whether there's extra pressure for people who then have got that diagnosis, or is it actually like a really clear why I've been told this and it's finally the wake-up call I need, I've got to do something about it? Because I think like the shame and the guilt is something that I think that kind of comes up as a bit of a theme that a lot of people kind of think about in their own head but very rarely share out loud. And a big part of why we do this podcast is to really just be upfront and honest about that, that you are not alone in that situation. But I do wonder whether people who come with the diabetes diagnosis, whether they feel that extra burden on them. I mean, I don't know, Anna, whether that's something you've seen.
I think what I see is that it's so different for everyone. So, you know, sometimes you'll see members who walk in who just know, you know, that the time's now and I've got to do it. And, you know, actually maybe the diabetes diagnosis has been the push. Other people know that they've come along and the diabetes is part of the world that they've created that they want to change. But I think it's very different. I've never met anyone that's felt ashamed of being diabetic in my groups, or anybody who's kind of worried about that. I think it's normally that the diagnosis has been the final straw that they've gone, hang on, I've now got to do something. This has been the absolute catalyst to get through the door. But I think what it's really important, anybody that is listening who has got diabetes, is to know that you can do this safely with us while also not getting any judgment. So yeah, I've never encountered that. I don't know, John, if you've encountered that in your groups, but I've not seen that in the past 12 years.
No, I would definitely agree. It's more just a case of it's the kickstart to get in, back in and get do something about it. Definitely.
Totally. And I also say I've got a lot of type 1 diabetics. You know, type 1 diabetes is something that is, you know, a lot more complicated in the science, and I won't get into that. And you're normally on insulin for that as well. They can manage their diabetes in, they won't ever be able to reverse that, but they can manage that healthily within food optimizing as well, and help keep their blood sugars as a kind of even stable rate as possible. Because the thing about diabetes is, if you are a well-managed diabetic, you stop the onslaught of complications. Like, you know, my dad, when he died, had kidney failure that was caused by it, heart disease that was caused by it. Like, diabetes, if it's not well managed, will wreak such havoc on your body. So it's knowing, even if you've not got a type that can be reversed, can you stay well within your diabetic state? Definitely, if you manage your weight, it can be a really massive contributing factor.
Yeah, we did an episode. If you want to look in our back catalogue, it's episode 82. I mean, it's on Apple Podcasts, it's on Spotify. It was called Diabetes, the Shocking Truth and What You Can Do About It. And in there, we talk a little bit more detail about the signs, the symptoms, type 1, type 2. And then we're also with Dr. Jackie Lavin, who is from Slimming World's research team. It's definitely worth checking that if you are wanting to kind of go a little bit deeper into the diabetes kind of detail, I suppose. I mean, like, so John, if someone walks through your door and they say they have a diagnosis, what is like the first like piece of advice that you have to share with them?
The first thing I'm sharing with them is my story, to be quite truthful. I'm asking them, they take a seat, I go through my new member talk, and the first thing I do before I even get to my new member talk is give them a bit of story behind me, and it is about me reversing my diabetes, and telling them that, yeah, with food optimizing, you could do the same, absolutely, 100%.
Yeah, take control.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think the thing I always say when people walk in my door is that we can help you do this in a safe way. For me, my absolute fear is someone wanting to lose weight because they're diabetic and doing something so extreme that they actually make themselves sick. And I think that's a really important thing to know, that this is so carefully monitored. It's like food optimizing in pregnancy and when you're breastfed, that it's something that you can rest assured you're safe with, because I wouldn't be able to sleep at night if I was telling someone to go and do something that could harm them. So it is such a safe way. And we do collaborate with their specialists, their nurses, and make sure that everything's kind of being checked as well, because, you know, there are some things that come with diabetes, like hypos when your blood sugars drop too low. So we just want to make sure that people are really looking after themselves as well.
And I suppose the other thing is, like, you know, they kind of call this like a one of the biggest global epidemics out there, because, you know, there are 4.8 million people in the UK, just in the UK, that have diabetes. And, you know, almost one in five of those people actually don't even know that they have diabetes. That is what's scary. You know, a bit like you, John, that you'd been through the pre-diabetic stage, you were boom, you were there, diagnosis, and you just thought it was tiredness. And, you know, if people are experiencing any of these symptoms, just get checked out. It's just best to know. And then you know what you're dealing with, and you could start getting the support and the help and maybe the medication that you need to kind of get on this. Do not struggle alone.
And also with the pre-diabetes, I think it's really recognizing if you have gained weight and you are, and your BMI is over something that isn't healthy, or, you know, you're going up those scales, it's really important to get checked out. Is there any pre-diabetes going on here? Because if you can find out when you're pre-diabetic and put the brakes on, that is the best place to be at. So it's really kind of, I think what happens to a lot of people I meet is they just don't realize actually how poorly they are, because they've just lived with it. They've put it down to other things, like, you know, I'm working too much, I don't sleep great, I'm getting older. Actually, if you don't feel well, shout up and ask someone and say, hang on, can we run a few blood tests here? Because the sooner we can stop that, the better, and the kind of the less impact it will have on your body. Because the really terrifying thing about type 2 diabetes is people are getting diagnosed younger and younger, which the longer you live with diabetes, the more likely it is to really affect your health long term. So if we can kind of put a stop to that or slow the progression down, it's going to be really beneficial.
Yeah, like you did, John. I mean, what has been, I was reading a story the other day where you had your kilt on that you wore for your wedding 30 yes. something years ago. I mean, what has been like the kind of the bizarre standout moments that you've experienced as a result of losing all of this weight?
Probably the weirdest thing is actually getting into my kids' clothes. We were clearing out the wardrobe one time, and my son's now 27 and 23, but we're cleaning out their wardrobes, and I got into their clothes, and I was taking photos and showing them it and that, so they're now in my wardrobe, so I've now got their clothes in my wardrobe.
Now that is a clever way of getting yourself a new wardrobe, because when you're losing that amount of weight, it is an expensive way to get a new wardrobe.
Very.
So if all fails, go and steal your son's clothes. Wow, and that's amazing.
I want to know, did you have a spectacular 50th, like, now you'd created this whole new year, like, was it what you wanted? Or was it in lockdown?
It was in lockdown, unfortunately.
Oh, my 40th, yeah. But you know, that just means we lost, like, I lost two birthdays. So I'm still 39 in my head.
Yeah, I'll go with that.
Stay young. Oh, it's amazing what you've achieved. It really, really is.
And brilliant that you're a consultant and that you're continuing this ripple. You know, you've stayed within the Slimming World family, because I know, Anna, you talk so much about how important target members are to a group, to kind of have people who are instrumental, who are, look, here is someone who has been there. You can talk to this person. They are sat next to you. They are like you. They live in the same streets as you, and they've done it. And, you know, it's much more relatable than sometimes when you're flicking through a magazine or, I don't know, you're looking on Instagram. You know, these people live miles away from you, or they almost look like they're on a pedestal. But when you've got someone in group sat next to you who is saying, I did this and this is what happened, that's incredibly powerful. So amazing that you've decided to kind of stay within the Stemming Wool family. Well, it's been brilliant talking to you, John. Thank you so much.
Well,
now you haven't just shared your story in Falkirk. You've also shared your story across the whole world on the form of a podcast.
No, it's been brilliant.
You really remind me, when we met Ken and we interviewed him, and he was the gentleman who'd had the cardiac arrest and everything, and like how you just, that diagnosis just made you change yourself and look where you are today. So I'm sure there'll be lots of ladies and gentlemen who listen to this, and you'll maybe give them that kind of kick that they need to get to a group. So thank you for sharing your story.
No problem. No problem at all.
Well, we finished this episode with a little flavour of hope. You know, we hope that that is something that can inspire you, whether you have diabetes, whether you know someone with diabetes, whether you need to get tested. Let us know what your thoughts are about this, what your experience of diabetes and food optimizing has been. You can email us, slimmingworldpodcast@gmail.com. You can find us on Instagram @slimmingworldpodcast. And if you do want more information about diabetes, then we would say check out diabetes.org.uk. These are the guys who are organizing Diabetes Week, all the different events, all the different information. It starts today on the 13th of June and it runs for the whole week. So do check that out. Whatever you're up to this week, make sure you have a cracking dinner, a cracking tea, whatever you want to call it. And we'll be back next week. Bye-bye.
Bye for now.